Hey there, Vermont Edition listeners. Hope you like dogs, because this one is short and sweet like a Dachshund. How do I know? Because I'm Tedra Meyer, Vermont Edition producer, and I just edited it down. Hope you like it.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. This hour, we're rebroadcasting a conversation from March about Vermont's tech scene. It's a rapidly developing sector. The COVID-19 pandemic led to an influx of tech workers from other states who decided if they could work from anywhere, why not Vermont? There are also a number of relatively new spaces for entrepreneurs to meet, work, and talk ideas, including the Vermont Startup Collective, a digital meetup space. First, let's listen to a reporting trip I took to the startup OVR Technology, a company developing scent technology for virtual reality. I met founder and CEO Aaron Wisniewski at the company's headquarters. They're at Hula, a co-working space in Burlington. When I walked in, he was holding a black object in his hands. It was what I had come to see.
This right here is the technology, and you can see it's maybe the size of a candy bar or so. The cartridge is... clips in.
He snaps it onto a virtual reality headset, which, if you've never seen one, looks like a massive black and white pair of ski goggles. Inside that cartridge are vials of scents manufactured at the OVR lab.
That's fresh lemon. This is an herb garden.
I pull the whole device over my eyes and nose and enter the metaverse. A flower box full of roses appears in front of me. I lean over, pick a flower, and bring it to my nose.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. It really smells like a rose. Wow.
When I pull it away from my face, the smell instantly disappears. It doesn't linger like a perfume would. That's thanks to the OVR hardware. Next, I'm transported to a beach scene where I do a guided meditation and breathe in the briny smell of the ocean. Then it's on to a virtual campfire where I roast a marshmallow. I pull off my headset at this point.
Cool, right?
Yeah. That marshmallow is really impressive.
It's pretty spot on.
At first, this all sounds like a fun gimmick, a modern-day smell-o-vision. If you haven't heard of it, Hollywood developed smell-o-vision back in the 50s and 60s. During screenings of specially produced films, like the 1960 caper A Scent of Mystery, a jukebox-sized machine would pump out odors into the theater that corresponded with the action on screen, like perfume for scenes with a pretty woman.
Miss Kennedy, I have reason to believe that your life may be in danger.
My life in danger?
You're in need of protection. I should be most happy to provide it for you.
Smell-o-vision didn't work great. Some parts of the theater would be drowned in scent, and other parts got none at all. But those Hollywood producers were onto something. Smell is deeply associated with emotion and memory. Judith Morris is a research fellow at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. She's focused on scent and virtual reality. And she says the power of smell is often overlooked.
People don't really appreciate the sense of a smell. It's actually so important. It's so unexplored and it's so powerful.
Just ask anyone who lost their sense of smell after contracting COVID-19. According to one survey out of Virginia, more than half of respondents said life felt less enjoyable after losing their sense of smell or taste. Amoris says smell also helps us create new memories. And for virtual reality to feel like reality, it needs smell.
The smell of your grandma or like, you know, the particular perfume of like someone. So I think those are very, very powerful. It's not the same just seeing the image.
But reproducing real-world odors in a lab is extremely difficult. People are surprisingly good at sniffing out a fake rose from a real one.
Wow, you know, we think that dogs are amazing at smelling. Humans are really, really are. I mean, we can smell 1 trillion different kinds of smells. We truly have a superpower.
Not all those smells are as pleasant as a rose or a briny beach. Back in OVR's scent lab, the vice president of scentware, Sarah Socha, is filling tiny glass vials with clear, pungent liquids. She warns me, don't sniff.
Where is it? We have urine, garbage, diesel fuel, gunpowder, blood, dirt, feces.
These malodors can be used in training simulations for soldiers or first responders. On the other end of the smell spectrum, positive scents can help people find calm. OVR Technology is piloting a project called Inhale, essentially a guided meditation in virtual reality, like that one I did on the beach. Inhale is currently being used in a handful of detox clinics for people in addiction recovery, including River Rock Treatment Facility in Burlington. Jay Bowman is the co-founder and director.
You know, it can be fairly intense looking at yourself and having a little bit of fun, bringing in your senses, and it's a way to increase mindful activity with a different modality.
OVR only sells directly to businesses like these clinics, not individuals, at least for now. An OVR spokesperson declined to say how much the product costs. We do know that virtual reality overall is attracting a lot of business interest. According to an industry analysis by PricewaterhouseCoopers, virtual and augmented reality currently account for more than $46 billion in the global economy. That's projected to jump to $1.5 trillion by 2030. Wisniewski and his team hope to claim a slice of that pie.
And we hope one day when, you know, VR headsets and AR glasses are as commonplace as our smartphones, our technology will be integrated in them the same way that audio technology is implemented into all those devices.
That's just one example of the type of new technologies being developed right here in Vermont. Next, we're going to hear from Sam Roach Gerber, the vice president and startup advisor at the Vermont Center for Emerging Technologies. Later in the segment, we'll be joined by Lisa Gruneveld from OnLogic, a South Burlington company that makes industrial computers. When we spoke in March, I started by asking Sam Roach Gerber to explain what the Vermont Center for Emerging Technologies does.
We usually go by VSET. It's a little bit easier to say.
Yes.
So VSET is a home for entrepreneurs and startups. The bread and butter of what we do is advising one-on-one with entrepreneurs and investing in early stage tech startups. That said, we support any entrepreneurs in Vermont that are looking for advice and mentorship. We also have a number of programs such as the Female Founders Speaker Series. We have a podcast called Start Here, where we interview Vermont entrepreneurs. And as you had mentioned, we also started the Vermont Startup Collective, which is a new online community for entrepreneurs in the state.
Very cool. And you mentioned funding. You also manage the Vermont Seed Capital Fund, correct? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's an evergreen fund that was started in 2010. It's a $6 million fund where we invest in early stage tech companies. So funding is a huge hurdle for tech companies. And so we try to invest early on and help them to sort of establish themselves and be able to scale here in Vermont. And we like to make sure that they are adding really high paying jobs here in the state.
So you mentioned that you've already been investing in a couple different companies. Can you give us a sense of what types of startups VSET is involved with?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. So there's a few really exciting ones that we've recently invested in. There's a company called Vernal Biosciences, which is an mRNA manufacturer. And that may sound familiar because mRNA is sort of the basis of COVID vaccines. So more relevant than ever. And they are based in Colchester.
Great.
That's just one example. Another is ZestBloom, which is an NFT marketplace actually in Morrisville, believe it or not. An amazing couple that started that company. You know, it can be a little bit confusing to the layperson, but luckily I'm just a communications background. So I like to kind of decode what folks do around VSET. And you can think of it as sort of a virtual art gallery, if you will.
And for those who aren't familiar with NFTs, it's a non-fungible token. I'm going to leave you to Google it to really understand what that means, because it is another hard one to explain.
Now,
Sam, when we were putting together this show, we were having a bit of a tough time, frankly, figuring out exactly how big Vermont's tech sector is and how it's grown over the years. It's a bit hard to quantify. And according to data from 2014 that we found, the tech sector generated about a quarter of the state's employment. Do you have a sense broadly, or perhaps with some data, of how important tech is to Vermont's economy in 2022?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. And there's lots of folks doing really good work to get some of that data. So hopefully we'll have some new information that's a little bit more recent than 2014. But just anecdotally, it's been amazing. You know, I've been at VSET for 6 years and I've just seen the growth it's exponential, honestly. But, you know, at VSET here, we have more members than ever. You know, I think, since COVID, we added over 50 members, which is just mind-blowing. You mentioned Hula early on. They opened up somewhat recently and are I believe full with their companies and adding more individuals each day. I think the best example for us is the Vermont Startup Collective. We started that in October 2020 because we saw a real need for folks to connect virtually and that were interested in startups or investing or business in the state. And we have over 1,000 members and that's entirely organic. We haven't done any marketing with that. Hopefully some listeners will join. But it's really cool because we have folks that, you know, message us through the collective and say, hey, I just moved from Boston. I'm staying here permanently. I have, 50 years of experience and, in cryptocurrency and I'd love to, or maybe not 50 years, a few years in cryptocurrency and I'd love to pay it forward. How can I help? And so that has been a really great channel to get those folks connected with our startups.
And you mentioned COVID and I know we want to get in a bit more to, what's changed since the pandemic and how that's brought more tech workers here. Before we do, listeners, if you have questions or comments about Vermont's tech sector, if you have a business you're interested in starting here, or if you've been trying to figure out how to break into Vermont's tech scene, give us a call, 800-639-2211. You can also email us at vermontedition@vpr.org. Now, Sam, Vermont is a very unique place with its own economy, its set of infrastructure. To you, what is unique about Vermont's tech ecosystem compared to, say, the tech scene in Silicon Valley or Austin, Texas?
Yeah, really great question. Honestly, I think it's people are here because they want to live in Vermont. You know, that's why they come here. So we all share that little, kookiness of wanting to live somewhere that, has 6 or 7 months of winter, right? And so I think that there's that sort of underlying vibe of just wanting to be here. And we don't move here necessarily because there's an amazing tech scene, but once we're here, we realize that, oh, wow, there's so many more people that are doing what I'm doing and, can connect with them. And, I always say that what sets us apart is people pick up the phone in Vermont. They are easy to get in touch with. They want to help. And that really makes a huge difference, especially as a young founder, or a first time founder, that's looking for connections.
Okay. Now, I want to bring in a founder, as you just mentioned, a longtime Vermont tech leader as well, Lisa Gruneveld. She's the co-owner and co-founder of OnLogic, which is a South Burlington-based company that makes industrial computers. Lisa, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And Lisa, I know I just very much oversimplified what OnLogic does. So can you tell us, in your words, what does your company do?
Right. So we are, you summarized it perfectly. We are a manufacturer, design and manufacturer of small industrial computers. So our computers go in places that need a rugged computer and a very reliable computer. We are headquartered here in Vermont. We have an office in Cary, North Carolina, the Netherlands, Taiwan, and Malaysia. So we're in fact a global company.
And I hear you have some pretty big clients, right? Including Google and GM and NASA.
Absolutely. Amazon, all your household names.
All right. Now, as I understand it, you founded OnLogic about 2 decades ago in Massachusetts, but then soon moved it and yourself to Vermont. Why did you make that decision?
Well, my father passed away in 2002 when I was living in the Netherlands with my husband, Roland, and we decided to come back to the United States to be closer to my family. My background was in Boston. I'd gone to school there, and that was where my sort of professional network was. So we started the business in Boston, but we realized as the business became successful that there was no reason why we could not run this computer e-commerce business in Vermont. So in 2004, we brought it closer to home. I grew up in Barrie. So that put me a lot closer to my mom and my brothers. And it's just been going really well since then.
Okay. And actually, now that you mentioned growing up in Barrie, I know there's so much of a focus on Vermont's tech scene being in Burlington, or at least in Chittenden County. And for you, what do you see as some of the, the barriers to growing the tech scene in other parts of the state?
Yeah, this might be an indication of how long I've been running the business, 20 years now. But when we were moving the business up, we really struggled with access to broadband, access to the highway, access to the airport. But I do want to give Vermont a lot of credit, and lots of people here in Vermont, for working very hard to improve broadband access. It's not as good as it really should be, but it is vastly improved from 20 years ago. So I do think it's more possible for tech companies to open shop outside of Chittenden County. But that's just an impression. Now that I live here, I'm not sure how broadband is going in other parts of the state. I think we have a lot of work to do, but it is better than it was.
Sam Roach Gerber with the Vermont Center for Emerging Technologies, or VSET. What are your thoughts on that? Are there infrastructure issues that, outside of Chittenden County that might be a barrier for folks starting a tech startup in other parts of the state?
You know, I don't think it's as much of an issue. I mean, I think, of course, there are pockets where it will be a challenge. But, from our perspective, there are innovation spaces popping up all over the state where folks can start and scale their tech startups. You know, there's, the Brick in Springfield, there's Due North in Lindenville, there's the Space on Main in Bradford. All of these places are, in relatively rural areas, and they have everything you need to be successful in growing a tech company with folks on hand to help advise you and mentor you as well.
Now, OnLogic, Lisa, has offices, as you've mentioned, in North Carolina and Malaysia, Taiwan, all over the world, the Netherlands. But many of your employees are right here in Vermont, and you've said you're committed to staying here. For you, how hard or easy is it to recruit engineers and other tech workers to move here?
Well, I have to say that one of the best things about the folks who are already here in Vermont, and I think Sam touched on it a few minutes ago, is this is just a state that's, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, figure out how to fix the things that are broken in your house. Our team here, they're very hands-on. They're very technically oriented. So, traditionally when we've hired folks in our own backyard, we've had great success. And I can't be more proud of Vermonters. Whether they moved here last spring or they've been here for many generations, Vermont is a place you choose to live, no matter how long you might have been here. And so when you get here, if you stick around come spring, in my mind, you're a Vermonter. So, when we hire our team here, they tend to be around for a long time. As for recruiting to Vermont, it seems to be getting easier. That might be a function of OnLogic being a larger player in our industry now. We're just finding people more easily. But I also think a lot of people are choosing, sort of voting with their feet and coming to Vermont, maybe to, avoid some of the ramifications of global climate change in other parts of the country, and maybe come to a place where COVID was better managed than in some other parts of the country. So, it's been a little bit easier to recruit people to Vermont. It's just cold. So we battle with our climate here. And so, opening an office in North Carolina also gives us the ability to say, well, if you want to be somewhere warm, we have an office in Cary, North Carolina. But yeah, recruiting has definitely gotten easier, I would say, recently, though recruiting is always difficult.
Yeah. And Sam, have you noticed that as well? Do you feel like the companies you work with are having a bit of an easier time recruiting?
Absolutely. And I think part of that too is there's just more options. I think folks were hesitant when maybe they were applying to, let's say, dealer.com, and they felt like there was sort of a one shot, like, I can apply to this job, but if I don't like it, there's no other large tech companies that I can work at. And that's just not true anymore. There's so many companies that are all hiring. And so you have options, and that makes people, I think, feel more comfortable in making a big move.
Oh, Sam, lastly, before we take a break, I'm curious to hear what advice you might have for somebody who thinks they have, the next big idea in tech. What are the first steps they should take to get their idea out there?
email sam@vsat.co. I'm sort of joking, but not really. I think there's tons of resources in the state that are all free or nearly free. And there are folks that have built companies and stayed and want to mentor and pay it forward. So by joining like the Vermont Startup Collective, reaching out to myself, reaching out to the folks at Hula, reaching out to the Vermont Small Business Development Center, the Center for Women in Enterprise, all these organizations are here to help, and we're eager to meet you. So, it's never too early, I would say. You know, even if it's the seed of an idea, we can help you figure out what to do, what the next step is. And, if you want to move a massive tech company here too, we can make that work.
That was Sam Roach Gerber, Vice President and Startup Advisor at the Vermont Center for Emerging Technologies, and Lisa Gruneveld, co-owner and co-founder of OnLogic. Next, we'll also hear from Aaron Stein, co-founder and CTO of Resonant Link. When we spoke back in March, I started by asking Aaron Stein to tell me about Resonant Link's products.
We deliver power to devices that are difficult to get power to. And so one amazing example of that is implanted medical devices. There's devices inside the body that are doing core functions to keep people alive, whether those are pacemakers, ventricular assist devices, those types of things. And instead of having a wire that comes in and out of your body that breaks down the natural barrier that your skin creates, we wirelessly send that power into the body to help improve the quality of life of patients living with these implanted medical devices. And that's just kind of one example of a difficult place to deliver power and where wireless power is really advantageous. Another space that we play in and are really excited about is in the mobility sector, where you have increasingly see electric vehicles on the road. These cars are driving around, need to get charged, need to be charged conveniently. When people aren't using them, and wireless power is an excellent way to help integrate charging into people's everyday lives with an electric vehicle.
Wow, yeah, I feel like you've picked the right niche since the use of electric vehicles is growing so quickly, we hear. Now I hear you recently got more funding and are planning on doubling in size from 25 to 50 employees. And when I heard that, I was curious, are these all going to be Vermont-based jobs?
So Resonant Link, similar to how Lisa described on Logic, is a distributed company. So our main hub is in Vermont, but we have a workforce with folks in Switzerland, on the West Coast, and in Boston. And so we're right now about 50-50 of Vermont and other places in terms of our workforce. And I imagine as we continue to grow, that ratio will stay about constant.
And if you have questions about Vermont's tech industry, call us at 800-639-2211. Let's go to the phones now with a call from Merlin in Lisbon, New Hampshire. Merlin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I am a retired machine shop instructor of 50 years, and I have seen it all between Cape Canaveral and the Springfield telescope makers who are down in Springfield, Vermont, and during World War II, those people, those amateur telescope makers, made the finest optics that went into things like the Norden bomb sight. And this is just, as you say, kind of a niche thing in Vermont. The reason I'm not talking about New Hampshire is because their apprenticeship program sucks. I'm asking Vermont to think of the fact that the one renewable resource you have in this country is education. And you need to start going down into the grades and inviting men and women, young girls and young boys, to look at the idea of a hands-on technical aptitude. This is very, very important.
Merlin, thank you so much for that comment. And for our listeners in New Hampshire, we love you and we support you. But it's an interesting point there about the apprenticeship program. And Lisa, I heard you mean. What are your thoughts on kind of growing those skills in young people in Vermont?
Merlin, you're calling in and asking that question. I'm standing up and jumping up and down because I couldn't agree more. When I look at our team and how, you know, technically adept they are and how technologically knowledgeable they are already, And I realize how important the trades are, whether it's, you know, the ability to work for a resident link or on logic building computers or, you know, rechargeable systems or building furniture. That sort of hands-on skill set is something that's best acquired when people are young. So I couldn't agree more. And at OnLogic, we've had people come work for us right out of high school. In fact, we have one employee who came to us through the career work experience program at the Essex Tech Center. He started working for us when he was 27. I think he's nearly 30 now. So, you know, our goal is also to encourage young people to just get their hands on stuff and fix broken things and just become more part of that repair, build it, tinker with it sort of philosophy and lifestyle. So I absolutely agree with your caller.
And just as a note, Vermont Edition recently devoted a whole hour to career and technical education, which kind of overlaps with this apprenticeship program and training that we're talking about. My co-host Connor Cyrus hosted that a few weeks back. So if you're listening and want to learn more, you can look that up. Now, as we talk about, you know, ways that the state and you know, our education system can support growing Vermont's tech economy and getting people into these jobs, I'm curious to hear from both of you what other types of supports you would ask the state for to support either your specific company or your industry. And Aaron, let's start with you.
Yeah, thank you. So I think for us, you know, continuing to recruit here in Vermont is kind of one of the biggest challenges. The talent that exists here is amazing. Folks are really motivated and we have an amazing team here, and we're working tirelessly to continue to grow that talent and to sort of increase. And so having an increased sort of employee pool would be fantastic and really help Resident Link grow. And I think that comes down to, you know, there are a few things that kind of get in the way from that. So one is sort of the awareness of Vermont and what we do. Oftentimes when we're talking to prospective employees, Vermont, you know, what is that? Why would I want to live there is a question we get a lot until we get them on site and get them really excited. So increasing that awareness, making it easier to move here. So helping with the housing market, making housing affordable and helping with transportation, you know, increasing air flights into the area, making it easy to get from some of the traditional tech hubs, Boston, San Francisco to Burlington as easy as possible would also help with that a lot as well.
Yeah, I'm hearing housing, transportation, which I know are, you know, issues statewide and industry-wide. Lisa, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't have to repeat everything Aaron just said. All I can say is we absolutely agree. Housing at all income levels is a challenge in Vermont because a lot of our housing stock is older and needs renovations. And, you know, young families moving to Vermont to join our tech center might not have a lot of mental space to do a huge reno when they get here. So, you know, the state working together with local communities, in our case, South Burlington, to ensure that, you know, everyone has a home and that our schools are being invested in, that people are being attracted to the state, who there are opportunities for their partners who come along with them. So everything Aaron just said, ditto.
To tell me about how you and your organization were actually able to mentor Resident Link, which Aaron co-founded. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I met Resident Link through Launch VT, which is a program here in Vermont that companies like Resident Link can opt to join. And they provide companies like Resident Link with, you know, just kind of early on advice and mentoring and coaching. And then I believe there's a pitch competition at the end and some amount of money that I think this year was awarded by the Vermont Center for Emerging Technology. So Sam and her colleague Dave at VSET. And so I worked with Resident Link as a coach. They could call me and ask me any question. And after the Launch VT program was done, I've stayed in touch with Aaron and Pio. And so this morning I was out to breakfast with Pio, Aaron's colleague. It's just such a pleasure to be able to, you know, interact with Vermont businesses as they kind of are starting up. When we moved here 20 years ago, the state of Vermont was incredibly helpful, but I didn't really have a lot of people I could talk to and ask questions to. So I'm trying to pay it forward by just being available to other Vermont entrepreneurs. And so beyond Resident Link, I also work with the folks at Rigorous Robotics. And when they have a question, they give me a call and I share my experiences and knowledge.
Well, let's go now back to the phones. We have Walker with us from Winooski. Walker, you are on the air now. Go ahead.
Hi.
I believe we can hear you. What's your question or comment?
Okay. Yeah, I'm one of the many recent sort of transplants back to Vermont. I was in New York up until COVID. The one thing that I have noticed that I think Vermont is lacking from the major metropolitan areas with large tech scenes is sort of an in-person community, a meetup community, an ability to sort of get to know and catch up with people in person. I'm actually working with someone that I met through the VSET Startup Collective Board to start one of those. We're going to be launching something at btbmeetup.com, but I did want to know what the panelists thought was something that the tech scene and sort of the entrepreneurs in the area could do to help foster that, because that does seem to be key to creating sort of a healthy ecosystem for those in the area.
Right. Interesting question. Aaron, let's start with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. I wonder if parts of your challenges there are around just trying to build a business during COVID, where, you know, getting together has been extremely difficult. Kind of in my own experience in starting Resonant Link, you know, when we first started, Lisa immediately reached out to help with us, was been an awesome role model, help teach me how to build a people first business. You know, Ryan from Benchmark Systems reached out and had a conversation really early on. You know, Kyle at Beta spoken to as well. So kind of the different tech leaders around the community have come together and kind of view this, at least in my experience, view kind of building a tech startup here in Burlington as a communal event. You know, we can all do this together. We can all help each other grow our companies and grow in parallel. And so, you know, I'd love to connect with you some more and help bring you into the community. I found Launch VT and connecting with Lisa was kind of our gateway into the community. And once we were in, it's been awesome and flourishing. So that was kind of my experience about it. And I'd love to connect with you offline as well, if that's something you're interested in.
And we can work on connecting you too. Walker, I'm also curious to hear, you said you're a semi-recent arrival. What spurred that decision to move to Vermont?
So I actually went to UVM. I graduated in 2013. I'm from the New York area originally, but I left, I think, like a lot of people, you know, it's Vermont's a fantastic place. And I think that for a lot of people, especially coming out of a school the size of UVM, you end up kind of just automatically, or at least you used to automatically, look towards the major cities and kind of, you know, for probably out of ignorance, didn't really look to stick around in Vermont. But obviously with COVID, that kind of shifts a lot of people's priorities. And my girlfriend and I decided to move back here just because, you know, primarily the cost of living, but also, you know, we have a dog. We wanted to spend more time outside and kind of enjoy the obvious natural beauty here. And it's been the best decision, I think, that I've ever made. And I can speak for my girlfriend and say that as well. But yeah, that was really the impetus for that.
And you said you met others on the Vermont Startup Collective. What was that experience like?
It was great. I come from the insurance industry originally, and so for more professional services, and I've been sort of looking to find a way into I guess, the more exciting tech scene, and I kind of stumbled across the Startup Collective board, and it was a lot more lively than I think most boards that, you know, you sort of interact with. I think having come from New York, a lot of boards like that, I think the difference here is that it's a lot more personable. And I think as Sam, who we've spoken with to help sort of launch this sort of in-person meetup group, said it best earlier that you know, people actually pick up the phone here. And I think when you reply, or, you know, you talk to people or reply to people on the collective board, you get a response, which is definitely not the same as you would in San Francisco or Boston or New York all the time. Mm. So it's been... Mm-hmm.
Well, Walker, thank you so much for calling in and best of luck with building that community here in Vermont. Lisa, you've been working in this industry for you know, two decades now. And before we have to take a break, I would just love to hear a bit more from you about how you feel like this scene has changed over the two decades. Like, can you imagine what might surprise Lisa of 20 years ago the most if she were transported to today?
Well, I'll speak about IT generally. My career in IT is actually 30 years because prior to starting OnLogic, I worked in the telecoms industry, both in the United States and Europe. One of the most surprising things about technology is not just the obvious, which is the amazingly quick shift in technology and our interconnectedness, as you see it over social media, but also just the shift in sort of women in technology, which is my most sort of personal experience. It's a much more welcoming place than it was when I started 30 years ago. Mm. And it already felt fairly welcoming 30 years ago. So that's one of the most surprising things. I didn't expect it to really continue to be a place I would probably see the rest of my career in, but it's been a very rewarding career. And as a woman, I'm really glad I stuck it out. And I think IT has kind of been my home and technology is part of who I am. And it's just great to sort of look around and see more and more women getting into engineering, technology, science, math. And I didn't expect that to really happen 30 years ago.
Mm. Well, that's great to hear. And I'm sure the many women that you've worked with and mentored so appreciate your support and leadership in that space. And Erin, for you, you know, as you hear Lisa talk mention this growth of women in STEM fields and, you know, the importance of hiring a diversity of people to your technology company, how has that been going for you? Is that, you know, something that you focus on in your hiring processes?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think building an effective team means building a diverse team. And, you know, our goal is to build a company that looks like the world around us. And so that's, in order to build an effective workforce, that's one of our highest priorities. And, you know, we're learning from people like Lisa and from our other mentors and trying to innovate ourselves to try to continue to push the bounds there and to help the tech industry Resonant Link reflect the broader community.
Let's go down to Nicole in Wilder. Nicole, you are on the air. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. I was just wanting to emphasize again the difficulty in community in Vermont. For those of us in this field, even a platform like LinkedIn doesn't allow us to, look for jobs in Vermont or New Hampshire. It automatically wants to put us into either Boston or Glens Falls. Hmm. So it's really tough.
Yeah, thank you for that call, Nicole. And it sounds like your frustrations are shared by many, many people in the state. Now, Lisa, I would ask you about the LinkedIn things. I know it's very important in certain sectors and not in others, but is that a space that you know, you are on, you feel like is growing in this region, or is it, you know, not so used anymore?
Our HR team, they do the majority of our recruiting. So our recruiters actually work for us as well, which in our mind is really important to growing our culture to make sure that anybody's first interaction with OnLogic is with an OnLogic team member. Your caller's comment about LinkedIn really resonates with me. We use social media extensively to reach out to potential employees, and we do everything we can to sort of be in front of the folks who we think might want to work for us someday. And Vermont is a little hard because there are not a lot of people here. So I've noticed the same thing. The propensity is to pop us into the greater Boston area. But Boston's 3.5 hours away. So it can definitely be challenging. And I think for your caller, hopefully she heard Walker call in earlier. Making a community is a kind of a grassroots effort as well as a top-down effort. I think speaking for Erin and myself, we've reached out to each other. We're always sure to call people back when they reach out to us. It's sort of paying it forward. But if we don't know people are out there and that they're lonely, we can't really reach out to them. So I hope that your caller is able to reach out to people in her own community and really sort of encourage those ties.
That was Lisa Gruneveld, co-founder and co-owner of OnLogic, and Aaron Stein, co-founder and CTO of ResonantLink. This hour, we're listening back to a show from March about Vermont's technology sector. Now we'll hear from Vermont's Labor Commissioner, Michael Harrington. I started our conversation by asking what the state is doing to promote Vermont as a place where technology companies and workers can thrive.
Sure. And I think we have to back up a little bit, too, to identify the fact that we like to identify different sectors or industries that may be priority sectors for the state. I would also say in many cases, there probably isn't one sector that's more important than another because they are all intertwined. And I think one of the things that I've come to learn in my role here is that you can have a tech business, you could have a healthcare business, you could have an accommodations and lodging business, and there are many different occupations that exist within that business. So you may have a tech company, but not everybody that works at the tech company is a technologist, just like you may have, an accommodations company where you may have a technologist that's also helping you with your computer systems and telecommunications and website and so on. So, a lot of what we do at the Department of Labor is also look across occupations as opposed to just sectors, because they're these people with varying skills and abilities cross all different types of industries and all different sectors. Mm-hmm. To your point, though, about promoting Vermont, I think Vermont has for years tried to allocate funds and resources, and probably now more than ever, coming on the heels of the pandemic, to identifying critical industries and sectors for potential growth, technology being one of those sectors where there is a great potential for growth. And I think, what we're seeing is more targeted outreach. So where in the past you may look at a larger, broader campaign for growing the entire economy, we're now seeing more targeted and pinpoint outreach to specific companies and specific professionals who may want to work at those companies. And I don't want to speak for the state's tourism and marketing department, but from the Department of Labor's perspective, we really look at the occupation and identify either individuals living in Vermont that we can help connect with businesses or help skill up in a particular area to help fill a gap in an industry or a sector. And we're also looking outside the state at kind of these key critical industries and looking for professionals to fill the specific gaps within those industries.
And what kinds of specific gaps stand out to you the most? What spaces are you really trying to focus on and fill?
Yeah, so again, healthcare is one of them. Technology is another. When we look at manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, construction, even accommodations and food service, there's a wide range of occupations that fill these. But when we're looking either in-state or out-of-state, we're really needing to identify those individuals with very specialized skills. So again, it may not be just a straight laborer or a generalist, but it may be someone with a very specific skill set or a degree. Engineers is one that is commonly used, or someone in the healthcare sector, again, with either a license or a certification, whether it be a registered nurse or an LPN. Again, those are in short supply and they have a very specific skill set, and their role within the organization requires a very specific educational background or attainment. And so those are the ones that are much harder to find and where we have to do a little more digging to either identify those individuals or identify people who are interested in upskilling in those areas.
Right. And I know that there are shortages, labor shortages in many different industries in Vermont right now. But since we're focusing on tech this hour, curious to dive into that a bit more with you. Now, the state currently offers worker relocation incentive programs, I believe, to help bring in new workers to the state. And as I understand it, one is for workers who take jobs in industries that are experiencing labor shortages here, and the other is for remote workers who want to move here but continue to work for companies out of the state. Now, it seems like tech workers don't qualify for that first one, but do for the second. Can you explain these a bit better for our listeners?
To some degree, I can. They are managed out of the Agency of Commerce and Community Development, and so they don't specifically come out of the Department of Labor. But to your point, one is focused on relocation, and the other is focused on remote work. And so an individual may be able to work for a company outside the state and relocate to Vermont and continue to provide work to that out-of-state company. So again, that becomes somewhat of the challenge if we're trying to fill in-state positions. But you know, the legislature and obviously the governor are very keen on this idea and the need that we have as a state to not only turn over every rock and connect with every available person within the state of Vermont who's looking for work or looking to expand their work experience. But we're going to need as a state to reach beyond our borders to attract new individuals to our state because we simply don't have the population. The other challenge I think we run into is, and this is not unique to Vermont, on the heels of the pandemic, you know, every state across the country is struggling with workforce shortages, and that has come by way of a variety of different reasons. But when I sit with different state leaders, we're all talking about the same thing, and that is how to get people either into the workforce, either from within the state, or attract new people to the state.
Mm-hmm. So you're a bit in competition with lots of other states to attract these workers, right?
We are as a state, and that is why, you know, we're looking at major investments that would help us compete. And things like I heard a previous caller mention the need for support in housing and housing that is affordable at all funding and also cost tiers. And then also looking at things like expanding broadband and telecommunications or available childcare and transportation. These are the things that Vermont has had a varied history with because we haven't always been able to invest the type of money we need to compete with large states, except for now. And this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for us to invest in these infrastructure projects to expand our reach and be competitive in attracting new professionals to our state.
That was Vermont Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington speaking with us back in March.